generalfanager.com, where many of you go to check out all the cap situations for every team. Tom Peraska joins us from generalfanager.com. Tom, how are you, man?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. First of all, what kind of got you interested to start the website?
Yeah, I was an avid user of the site CapGeek, which was kind of the gold standard for this type of content before it shut down. The founder of that site actually passed away last year. And I was kind of missing the site, and so I decided I would try to take a stab at building something similar, and had a lot of fun doing it. And shortly after I launched it, it kind of took off, and it's been a whirlwind, but a lot of fun since then.
Now, I want to explain a few things, because the like a guy like Andrew Ferentz will technically have to be on the Oilers roster for a day, right? And then they put him on LTIR, or what's the timeline on that?
Yeah, so in terms of LTIR and when you can place a guy on it, it's not until the opening day of the season. So technically until Tuesday, he can't be placed on LTIR.
Okay.
And the team would have to, in order to place him on LTIR, would probably have to be within his contract amount to the upper limit. So there's a potential that the Oilers won't need to use Ferentz's LTIR immediately. And what they could do is actually stow him on regular IR and then only elect to place him on LTIR later in the season once they're closer to the cap if they make some acquisitions or call up some players. That was a situation that we saw Toronto do last year where Nathan Horton didn't open up the season on LTIR, but once the Leafs made some moves, they got pretty close to the cap and they decided to elect to place him on LTIR at that point because they maximized the benefit of that.
Really? So they could start him on IR and then wait later on, because the closer they are to the ceiling when you put the guy on, that it gives you more space. Is that how? It's not like it's cumulative that you could put Ferentz on now and then you just grow the space. That's not how it works?
No, so that's actually a common misconception with how LTIR works. So in Ferentz's situation, so you'd have kind of two scenarios in how you could try to use LTIR space. One is you open the season basically over the cap, then you get cap relief by placing the guy on LTIR and it brings you back under. Or you open the season below the cap, but just barely, and place the guy on LTIR and then get almost all of his cap relief. So if you were to take a guy, let's say Ferentz, for example, $3.25 million in cap hit, if you started the season at $76.25 million, which would be exactly his cap hit over the cap, then you'd maximize the relief and you'd get $3.25 million an increase on your salary total. If you were to start right at the cap, so $73 million, and you placed him on LTIR, you'd get his full amount. But if you started $100,000 under, you'd only get $3.15 million.
Okay.
If that's making any sense.
Oh, it makes total sense. I love it. That's why we got you on, because there are, I think, a lot of misconceptions about how the best way to use LTIR is, and a really good example using Nathan Horton. Now, the other one, Tom, and I know that you've studied a lot of it. You got it on your site, generalfanager.com. It lists, all the teams in order, who has the most cap space, who has the least amount of cap space. And right now, Detroit is currently $4.8 million over, same with the Pittsburgh Penguins. How do you envision those two teams making moves to ensure they get under the cap that they have to by Monday?
Yeah, so with those teams both well over the cap, it's quite clear that they have intentions to use a couple of their injured players on LTIR. In the Red Wings situation, Johan Franzen and Joe Vitale both have been stated to be unlikely to play at all this year, if ever again. And the same situation goes for Pascal Dupuis in Pittsburgh. So what you'll likely see, if we take Pittsburgh as an example, they're at $2.6 million above the cap right now, and Pascal Dupuis makes $3.75 million in terms of a cap hit. So what we'll likely see is they'll make roster moves to get as close to his $3.75 million over the cap as possible. So they'll add that 1.15 or whatever in cap space to get as close to his exact cap hit over the cap, and then they'll place him on LTIR and get his full relief as cap as LTIR space. What you'll see likely is the players that they move up and down are going to be guys that aren't waiver eligible. So you'll see potential players that are locks or shoe-ins to make their opening day roster, but because it works out cap-wise, they get sent down. The situation with Pittsburgh last year was that they sent down Olli Maatta because he wasn't waiver eligible. So they sent him down and called up a couple other guys whose cap hits worked a little bit better to get them to maximize that space. And then a bunch of red flags were thrown off. How did Olli Maatta get sent down? And it took a little bit of calming people down to understand what the Penguins were doing in terms of paper transactions.
Yeah, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of teams that potentially do that, because there's like the LA Kings are very close, the New York Islanders. Now, the Arizona Coyotes are an interesting one because technically they're close, but you know they've got, you know, kind of some dead space, as we want to call it. So how does the Datsyuk situation actually work for them? Because he's retired, it's a cap hit, but they're not paying any money, right?
No, and that was part of the reason when Datsyuk first sort of, the Datsyuk news first came out that his intention was to go over to KHL. There was a lot of talk about how he was an unmovable contract for Detroit, and they'd have to really find some creative way to get him off the books. And the reason why his cap hit doesn't disappear is because he's signed to a 35-plus contract, which means basically that if you sign a multi-year deal after 35 years old, even if you retire, your cap hit still stays on the books, and that's to prevent guys from signing deals that they don't plan to honor for all the seasons. So Datsyuk 7.5 was on the cap, but because he's going over to play in Russia, there's no reason he should continue to get paid, and the team can essentially suspend his contract or suspend him. And so what that means is because of that 35-plus rule, his 7.5 continues to count, but the team doesn't have to pay him. And so that's why he was an appealing contract to the Arizona Coyotes as a budget team. By acquiring him, they essentially acquired cap space that they can just place as essentially dead space, as we say, but not have to pay for it. And if they were going to be kind of walking the fine line of the salary floor, then they wouldn't have to be so concerned with that 7.5 from Datsyuk.
Tom Barashka joins us from GeneralFanager.com. Tom, are there any other teams that you've been watching and monitoring that you think might make some interesting moves leading up to the final roster announcements?
Yeah, so Arizona, for one example, like we just talked about, is an interesting one because John Chayka has come out and said that he might, for the first time, at least as far as I can tell in Arizona history, use some LTIR space. They're really close to the cap, and they obviously acquired Dave Boland, who's not expected to play. So it'll be interesting to see if they use LTIR space. But there's other teams. Philadelphia's in a little bit of a jam because they've experienced some injuries in training camp, but they also don't want to be using LTIR. Part of the reason for that is because if a team uses LTIR, it sounds all great to place this injured player on LTIR and you have nothing to be worried about, but there is a concern with it. If you use LTIR space during the season, basically your total cap amount at the end of the season starts to exceed what the cap total is. And when your cap space is calculated at the end of the year, you end up showing a $0 in cap space because you used LTIR throughout the season. And while that might seem fine, who cares? The season's over. You have $0 cap space. But if a player earns performances bonuses after that or on the last day of the season or right before that, they're going to put you over the cap, and LTIR can't help you with that. So a situation like that, a good example of that is the Leafs last year used Horton as LTIR. Morgan Riley hit a bonus on the last game of the season, and they ended up with about $500,000 in terms of an overage that they had to carry into this season, and that was reduced from their current cap.
Now, Tom, that leads into my next point perfectly. Because the Oilers, you've got Connor McDavid, you've got Leon Draisaitl, you've got Darnell Nurse. Potentially, you know, you might have a Jesse Puljujarvi, and the Oilers then, you know, would definitely be over the max. It's around 5.5 mil in overages bonuses, right? So would that, do you think then, because that potential to be reached there, especially McDavid, he reached his last year. Most people assume he's probably going to reach it again this coming season. Do you think that would be even more incentive not to put Ferentz on LTIR to start the season?
Yeah, I think that's definitely probably something they're considering. The Oilers are in a pretty reasonable position salary cap wise. We show them with $8.9 million in cap space. And you're right, teams can have a 7.5% bonus cushion on top of the $73 million. So what that equates to is your cap total with all regular salary cap hits and potential performance bonuses can add up to 78.475. So that's the 5.5-ish that you alluded to. The Oilers probably have somewhere around $6 million in potential bonuses, but because they're so well under their regular salary cap, their total amount is still well under that performance cushion. So they should be fine in terms of operating their roster, even with Puljujärvi, and staying under that bonus cushion. And it would be in their best interest to avoid using LTIR this season, because there's no doubt that some of their guys will hit bonuses and they don't want to have to carry those over into next year as overages.
Now, when you look at the penalty is basically if you have overages and the, can you explain that again? We've got a lot of texters. The LTIR and the overages bonuses, how does that impact you to have a cap penalty the next year?
So essentially if you use LTIR space, you're likely to end the season with $0 cap space. And that's because the final cap space number that is calculated is based on your total usage of cap space throughout the season based on your prorated daily amounts. So if I'm operating with Ferentz on LTIR, that's not erasing his cap hit from my cap total. It's just simply raising my ceiling in terms of where I can operate for the time that he's on LTIR. And if I leave him on LTIR all season and I intend to use that LTIR space, then I'm operating at somewhere over $73 million. And what that does is you end the season over $73 million, which is fine because you had LTIR space to afford that, but that doesn't mean that you end the season with any cap space. LTIR isn't really banking you cap space. It's just giving you temporary relief to replace that injured player, but you end the season with $0 cap space if you use it. So if performance bonuses are hit on top of that, then they're going to cause overages for your team. So if McDavid were to hit $3 million in performance bonuses or whatever it would be, that $3 million would count toward next year's cap if you were using LTIR.
Tom, I love it, man. We appreciate it. We're going to have you on regularly to get some insights on the salary cap and lots of other things, because the salary cap's a major factor now in the NHL more than ever when it comes to trades and a lot of other things. We appreciate it. And continued success with GeneralFanager.com.
Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for having me on. It was a lot of fun.